Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hey guys, it's Jeremy Warner, Atlanta Enquirer publisher. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and thank you to all of our great VIP members, our podcast listeners, our YouTubers. We appreciate you a lot. But the lifeblood of all of this is our VIP memberships, the 5,000 plus of you. We cannot thank you enough for your support that allows us to operate the way that we do, to hire good employees like Joey Wagner, Derek Piper, and everybody else, and to do this for a living, to travel with the Illini and cover the team the way we think your team should be covered. And right now, if you are not a VIP member, I suggest you do, because it is the best deal of the year. Our Black Friday sale, 75% off your first year of a VIP membership to Illini Enquirer. That is more than $90 of savings. So for just 7 cents a day, 52 cents a week, and $224 a month, $27 for the entire year, you can get the best Illini coverage there is. So I encourage you, sign up right now at IlliniEnquirer.com. We have the links all up there for you to see for a VIP membership. Thank you all. Happy Thanksgiving, and let's get to the podcast. Today on the Illini Enquirer podcast, Michael Tulip, our Illini Enquirer basketball analyst, joins us to break down what we've learned about Illinois basketball through 5 games, including back-to-back wins over Valparaiso and Southern. Not always pretty, but there's some really good things, and Michael Tulip breaks down why the defense has been so encouraging. He breaks down why the Illinois offense is something to be concerned about and what Brad Underwood and his staff need to do during this, 2 weeks where you only have one game, what they can do to help that offense. He breaks down what he's seen out of Terrence Shannon, how he's taking his game to the next level. What he's seen out of the freshman, Nicolo Moretti. We'll see what the injury is with him later today when Brad Underwood, I'm recording this on Wednesday, speaks with the media. But also Amani Hansberry, why he's so encouraged about Amani, and who he needs to step up to be a secondary scorer on this team to complement Terrence Shannon. We talk about that. We talk about what we've seen out of college basketball the last couple days, including how good is Marquette? How good is Purdue? That's all coming up next, right here on the Illini Enquirer podcast. You've heard us talk about home field apparel since the start of the season. There are a lot of collegiate apparel brands out there, but we wanted to partner with home field because their designs are the best out there. Some of Illini Enquirer's favorites are the basketball ringer tee, the rose tee, and the 1980s long sleeve with the script Illini. It's great. Be sure to check out homefieldapparel.com, filter by Illinois, and see what we're talking about. And our listeners get an exclusive deal using code Illini23. Using that code, Illini23, gets you 15% off your first order. We all know you're wearing Illini gear, so if you're in need of a refresh, we really think that you should check out Home Field Apparel, which has the best designs, and these shirts, guys, are really comfortable. Their designs are super unique, and a lot of thought goes into each concept. There's really nothing else on the market like what Home Field is doing. You can find them at homefieldapparel.com and use code Illini23 for 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com. It's time to catch up with Mike Latulip. And Mike, it's feast week, man. This is fun basketball we get to watch. I was watching Marquette, Kansas last night. That Illinois effort against Marquette might hold up a little bit.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's one of the better, if not the best team that I've seen so far. They have it all. They have it, what feels like at every position. They play with pace. Their pace even offensively, and the how frantic they played defensively just speeds you up. You saw that, how that affected Kansas and the way they turned the ball over last night. So, yeah, that's it's definitely aging well, for sure.
What stands out to you about Tyler Kolek?
I mean, you name it. He's a big reason why they can play with the pace that they play with, and he's a big reason why a lot of their offensive possessions are finishing in quality shots. And then defensively, he flies around. He competes. He had a couple block shots last night. He stripped a few guys. And again, it's really hard to fathom that he was a guy that started his career at George Mason.
No, it's amazing.
You know, it's hard to fathom that you could miss on a guy like that. Yeah. Or not want a guy like that, because I don't think he's changed drastically. He's gotten better, obviously, but I don't think the way he plays has changed drastically since he's been in high school.
Yeah, and the other thing for Maui, I know Isaac Trotter did a great story on Dalton Knecht and why he was overlooked or why he slipped through the cracks, but I can't wait to see Terrence Shannon play Dalton Knecht. That's going to be a fascinating matchup.
I hope the Illini are ready to shoot 35 free throws, because that's what that game is shaping up to be. And yeah, Knecht's a stud. Just the size and his ability, his skill level. I thought Purdue actually did a really good job last night getting into gaps and really preventing him from getting by anybody. They completely collapsed their defense to try to prevent him from getting into those gaps, and led to some turnovers, and just led to him not really getting going much at all in the second half. So I thought that was a big reason Purdue pulled that out. But yeah, man, he's a dog, man. He's tough.
Yeah, we're recording this before the Maui championship game, but yeah. Purdue carrying that flag for the Big Ten right now, Mike. They're doing a lot of heavy lifting for the Big Ten in this non-conference.
Yeah, no question. And honestly, I didn't think they were particularly great yesterday.
Right.
They struggled in a lot of different areas. So if they continue to figure it out, I mean, Braden Smith still struggling with some turnovers from time to time, and I think they're trying to figure out rotations, how to mix in some of those freshmen. Similar to Illinois, I think, where they're I don't think they've quite landed on who they feel like they're going to trust come conference play. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be a high-level game tonight. I'm excited to see just the different matchups. You got Kolek and Smith. You got Iguodaro and Edie. You got Lawyer / Jones against Jones. So... Man, it's – yeah. Is that – tell me that's not another 11:30 or 10:30 tip. I mean, if it is, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I'll be watching anyways.
Yeah, I'll be watching it regardless. Man, the guard play of Marquette is just ridiculous. And then Iguodaro is so good. It's just – I love watching that team right now. But it's going to be a great early season matchup, early test for both those teams. But, Mike, I was having the conversation with somebody on Friday as we were watching Illinois against Valpo. And I was like, who's the second best team in the Big Ten? Like, if you had to bet on somebody right now, who would it be? And I was like, is it Michigan? And then they end up losing, right? They end up losing to a lower-level team. So that's going to be probably the conversation the rest of the year is who is really going to push Purdue? Can anyone really push Purdue?
Yeah, I mean, I'm even trying to sit here and think who that second team would be right now. I know Wisconsin's lost a couple games. They really handled Virginia the other day. And I don't know, you go on down the list. I mean, Illinois is unblemished outside of the Marquette game. And that's a really, really good team. They already showed in the exhibition game that they knocked off Kansas. So there's a few teams I think are up there. But there's no question that Purdue's kind of in a league of its own right now.
Yeah, that's an afternoon tip-off, Purdue Marquette, by the way, so don't kind of stay up late for that one. All right, Mike, you've seen Illinois twice since playing Marquette, lower-level opponents, struggled with Valpo early, obviously didn't get going to the second half there, and then against Southern, not a great start with all the turnovers, but they end up running away with that one. What did you learn from those two games?
Just still a long way to go. Still a lot to figure out. They've been elite defensively, and it's going to have to stay that way for them to overcome some of the offensive struggles and some of that stems from personnel. I think when you look at this summer, and I know we talked about this before, but it's why everyone was so engaged in the portal and engaged in what was going to happen at the point guard spot, because there's been just times that it's kind of reared its head, both in negative ways and in positive ways. Because when you see a Nico Moretti in there, you're like, whoa, okay, this looks a little bit different. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know the extent of his injury, but look, that's not to say that because of those personnel issues that they can't win 20 plus games, or they can't go to an NCAA tournament, or they can't be right up there in the top of the Big Ten, but it makes it a little bit difficult, and you got to be perfect in these other areas. You got to be really good like they are right now defensively, and then you're probably going to have to shoot a little better. You definitely have to make some more free throws. Absolutely have to make some more free throws, because when you already have an offense that struggles at times to generate stuff, then you got to convert on the free ones. So that's what I'm looking for. That's kind of what I've gathered from the first five games. So if they can continue to figure some things out offensively and put guys in better positions to be successful, then, you know, I think you can make a run at this thing.
So we'll get an update from Brad Underwood, 3 o'clock presser today. So we're recording this before that, of what Nico Moretti's injury is. I would speculate that he's going to miss some time here. If it's a sprain or whatever it is, Brad Underwood said it's a foot. But if he's able to come back at some point in the next month, Mike, and how does he get a role? Like, is there a role that Nico Moretti can play, or what are the challenges to him earning that role?
Well, it's a give and a take, right? Because, you know, if you put him in offensively, maybe you're a little bit better. Maybe things flow a little bit better, but you're not as good defensively. And that's not even anything against him. I mean, this is like high level defense that's being played in these first few games. So it's how much they want to, like, does what he provide offensively, or what he provides offensively, level out with the drop off defensively? That's just something you have to figure out. And we still haven't really seen him against kind of high level competition.
Right.
But, you know, being in these non-conference games, it is good to have a guy like him that you can throw in that just kind of settles things down and sets the table. Just remains to be seen how he can contribute and how he holds up defensively against some of these higher level teams, and definitely in Big Ten play. Because you better believe that, you know, these Big Ten coaches will find the weak link, especially when you have in a really, really good defense like this. They'll do everything they can to avoid the Terrence Shannons, to avoid the Ty Rogers, the Coleman Hawkins, and they'll try to find the Nico Moretti's. So, and that goes for all those bench guys. You can't have any drop off when you come into the game. So it'll be interesting to see how they work him in. If they work him in, it's good to know you at least have someone there that can set the table a little bit and get things flowing offensively.
Coleman Hawkins' injury provided opportunity for both Dane Danger, who probably gained some confidence, especially making 2 of 4 free throws last game, but Amani Hansberry as well. What did you see from Amani that can translate into bigger games, if it can?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing everything he's asked to do. He limits mistakes. He plays with motor. And I think the two things that really stick out when you watch him are really two things that don't even involve him having the ball. And it's his activity and drop coverage. He has this innate ability, and we'll see once again as competition ramps up, but he has an innate ability to where he can offer help in the drop while also staying level with the roller, not letting the roller get behind him. There were a couple times where, you know, there's penetration down the middle, and instead of, we talk about never helping uphill, he finds a way to help at the level of his guy while also being able to get back to his guy and deter the shot. And then, you know, the other thing that I'll mention too is probably better than anybody on this team, he sprints out of his roles. And if you stick around for the film, you'll see what gravity that causes and how that opens up things offensively. And those are, I'm telling you, like, those are the marginal things that when you don't have all the ideal pieces offensively, those things matter. And, you know, it's not turn and shuffle for him. Set, turn, shuffle. Because a lot of times guys shuffle because it's a way for them to get their feet to be able to receive the pass. But, you know, Big's got to understand that probably, I don't know, 80%, 80 to 90% of the times you roll, you're probably not going to get the ball. Mm-hmm. So sprint. Like, that's just the way to free up the rest of your teammates. And he does that. Like, like I said, I'll show you the film. Really good at it. Yeah. And if he continues to do those things, dependability plays, man.
Yeah.
It does. I've talked about before. Brad Underwood looks down the bench, and he locks eyes with each one of those guys. There's a trust level for each of them. And Amani Hansberry's gaining trust. There's no question.
Does anything Dane Danger did against lower-level opponents translate against the huge opponents that are coming up?
Well, I think for Dane, you've already seen what he can do against higher-level opponents. You know, he's good around the basket. There's no question. He's just got to figure out the free throws, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about a game in Knoxville where that's going to be a physical game. And honestly, this is – if you're an opposing team, why would you not be as physical as possible with Illinois right now?
Mm-hmm.
They get to the bonus, okay. I mean, you're shooting a little over 50% from the free throw line. So, and it's almost like the feeling sometimes when Dane gets in there and he kind of has a wide, you know, maybe an open one and then shot fakes and then gets fouled and you're kind of like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had two and now this may not be two now, whereas it is for some other guys. So it's interesting because I know that his free throw percentage is definitely pulling down the team a little bit. I go back to 2 years ago, Kofi shot over 200 free throws and, you know, shot it better than Dane. I think off the top of my head, I think he was low 60s,
yeah. Maybe.
But the rest of those guys, man, I mean, Plummer was close to 90. Grandison was close to 90. RJ Melendez took 20 free throws and made 17 of them. Trent was mid to low 80s. And that's, man, late game, for Dane, it's going to limit the minutes that he can play. Like, it's going to be hard to have him in their late game because odds are you're closer, if not in the bonus. So, and Ty's dealt with that a couple times this year. Ty dealt with that against Kansas. But, you know, we'll see. Like I said, there's already somewhat of a proof of concept for Dane, and that could be a positive and that could be a negative because you kind of already know what he is. And for Amani, you don't really fully know. Yeah. So maybe you explore more.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ty Rogers, are we kind of overlooking what he's done so far this year, Mike? Because defensively, every coach talks about him. Every opposing coach talks about Ty Rogers' defense along with Terrence Shannon. And he is scoring a little bit. Obviously, the free throws got to continue to improve. But what have you seen from him through five games?
I do appreciate how much he knows himself. Mm-hmm. I think that's just so important. And stubbornness and being defiant with what your role is the quickest way to not reach your ceiling collectively as a team. And man, he's a big reason why they are so good defensively right now. When you can put him at the point of attack at 6'6", right? Great athlete, flies around. I mean, he plays, every minute matters for him. You could tell when he's playing out there. Regardless of the score, regardless of, you know, the time of the game, he's the same guy, and there's a lot of value in that. So yeah, absolutely. And I think he started to make free throws at a little better rate as well, which is good. It's still not where you want it to be, but you can tell he's getting more confident with it. And he was also a big part of them finishing better around the basket. Mm-hmm. Against Southern. Just Valpo, I was there live. It was crazy. I almost thought they were intentionally missing layups, and then they're able to stick him back against Southern, and he stays around that area. He can eliminate some of like the 15-foot runners and stuff, because I'm not sure he really needs to do that. But really impressive, and I just really like his demeanor. You can tell it's never, you know, when you're there live, you can be some of the like Bill Simmons body language doctor. And you never see bad body language with him.
Yeah.
And that's, again, as a staff, I mean, that's something that gives you, you know, a good feeling, because, you know, not every guy reacts that way. And when they don't get all the offensive touches or looks, you know, guys can go a different way, and Ty doesn't do that.
Listen, I know it was against a lower-level team in Southern, but you see Terrence Shannon's ability to take over games against Southern and Valpo. He ended up with 21 points against Marquette. He is just a physical freak. When I watch him, it's just like there's not many guys that are like this. What have you seen from Terrence so far this season? Because it's been pretty dang consistent production, and I've seen – maybe it needs to be better early in games, but I have seen an assertiveness from him that wasn't always there last year.
Yeah, well, you can tell that there is no wondering for him whether or not he's the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you go look at the season stats, right? It's him, and then it's everyone else from a points per game standpoint. But look, to call a spade, and we did the film, Terrence was not good in the last 5 minutes against Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
He just wasn't. Maybe he was tired. There were some miscues defensively, missed box outs. You know, he missed the layup at the front of the rim. But his energy and effort has been off the charts in these last few games, and they need that. And he needs to continue to pull guys with him, because he needs help. And he's going to need help as this season goes on. He's playing more off of 2 feet. I think I sent you a text on Friday night every time I saw it, and it led to free throws.
Mm-hmm.
But it's less about him playing off of 2 feet so that it leads to free throws, and more about him playing off 2 feet to preserve himself. Because, I mean, how many times do we see with him when he's barreling down off of 1 foot, and, you know, you get a guy taking a charge or sliding in late, and now you're holding your breath as he's kind of heading face first to the ground. They had, you know, his health is probably first priority for this team.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have Terrence Shannon, it there's the potential for this to get ugly. So making sure that, you know, and this is on Underwood too, where it's like, hey man, six and a half minutes left in the game, you're up 35. Let's get him out. Let's pull the plug a little bit. Let's make sure that we still have our guy moving into these next games.
The point is, Mike, because he's carrying such a huge load, offensively, defensively. He's so important to what this team does. But if he's on the court for 30 minutes a game, like, I feel like Illinois, most games, is going to have the best player on the court. Like, he is just – his return to Illinois for another year was just so massive for this program because of what he does now on both ends. And I'm seeing stuff defensively out of him this year that I didn't see consistently last year.
Yeah, and look, the defensive stuff too, I think you got to be on one side of it, you definitely commend the kid for wanting to step up and take the challenge. We've heard in multiple games now where he's just like, hey, move aside. I got whoever's killing us right now, I got him. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a reason why he doesn't start off on those guys, is because right. if Terrence Shannon gets two quick fouls, you're behind the eight ball pretty quick. So, yeah, I mean, he's got to be selective with that. I think, you know, there's certain moments where he can step up and say, I'm ready to accept the challenge. But Big Ten teams especially are going to say, hey, how can we put Terrence Shannon in a position to pick up fouls so we can get him out of the game and make life easy for us? So we'll see. But again, he needs someone else to emerge. He just does.
I had this question with Derek. Who's the second leading scorer on this team? I think it should be Marcus Domask.
Should be.
But we've only seen one game of double figures out of him so far. How do they get that out of him? Who is it? Goody? Can it be Danger Coleman? Like, what do you see there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be Marcus Domask. It should be. I just think the way that the offense will flow through him, and if you can make – and it really needs to be, because we saw in that Kansas game when they started doing some of that split screen action, if Marcus Domask isn't assertive and Marcus Domask isn't a threat, then when you put him and Terrence in those split screen actions, there won't be as much paranoia for Marcus that frees up Terrence. So that's what you kind of got to battle. Luke's been awesome.
Yeah.
Luke's been fantastic. But Luke right now is you know what Luke needs to be, and that's good positionally defensively, and that's competing, and that's catch and shoot threes, and being a marksman out there, and he's done that. And I think Marcus is still trying to figure out where his place is on this team. It's like, well, am I kind of a catch and shoot guy? Okay, well, they want me to handle the ball a little bit, so I'll come off screens. But he's, you know, 95% of the ball screens that Marcus Domask is coming off, he's taking two dribbles east-west and reversing it. So is that the best recourse for, you know, trying to get a guy involved like that? But he's just got to be more aggressive. He is, you know, he was solid against Kansas and he was solid against Marquette.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why I'm watching a game against Southern where he looks timid.
Yeah.
It's you know, it'll take time for sure, but dude, believe it, man. You did it against one of the best teams in the country. You can do it on a nightly basis, and the rest of these guys need that from him. So I think in a perfect world, it does end up being Marcus.
Feels like Quincy Guerriere's dealing with that wrist injury that might be holding him back as a shooter right now. He's 1 of 16, I believe, from three. That's really draining his offense, but we'll see what he gives the team. When he attacks the basket, rebound. I'm not too concerned about him. If he just needs to make some threes moving forward. Justin Harmon has gotten some stats late in these last two games. How does he carve out the role that Illinois needs?
I think between him and Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn, someone has to emerge. Like, someone has to. And Justin probably has the edge right now because he's an older guy and they'll probably make less mistakes defensively and probably make less mistakes offensively. Mm-hmm. Dre probably has a higher ceiling between the two, but you got to win games. So you got to find that balance between, hey, how much do we put these guys out there to figure out what we have without it potentially hurting us? And Justin, you can tell, one thing that I've been really impressed with for him is just his pursuit on the offensive glass. Some of the defensive rebounding stuff, you know, everybody was talking about all the rebounding against Valpo. I'm like, there were a lot of missed shots.
Yes.
Like, I mean, let's right. You know, like you look, it's like guy has 9 rebounds, 8 rebounds, 7 rebounds, 7 rebounds. I'm like, I mean, there were 110 rebounds to be had in that game. Mm-hmm. So someone was going to get them. There was just a lot of missed shots. So, yeah, I mean, for Justin, again, in a perfect world, he's a guy that is a big part of this rotation. It's why you went out and got him. It's what you thought you had with him. So I think he's struggling right now to figure out who he is as well and where he fits in on this team. But there's just got to be a lot less guessing from these guys, because you can keep looking around, but it's them. I mean, yes, you have Terrence Shannon, but these other guys, it's time to go. It's time to roll. Because next thing you know, conference play is going to start. And if you're wondering about role allocation and role identity and all that in February, you have a problem.
All right, so you got Western Illinois Friday night. They've lost to UTSA, SMU, and Valpo on the road at Valpo. But, Mike, this is a huge two-week stretch for the coaching staff and for this team with all of this practice. We'll see if Coleman Hawkins returns. I think that would be important if he's healthy to get him back, maybe a game under his belt. But you basically have one game in 12 days, and then Rutgers on the road, Florida Atlantic at a neutral site, and then at Tennessee, which, boy, if Illinois can get 60-plus points in that one, that might surprise me. So what do you think these 12 days have been like for Illinois in practice and what it means for them?
Well, you have a five-game sample size now, regular season sample size. So you go back, you look at all your data, you look at all your lineups. I mean, think about that lineup against Southern that really kind of blew that thing open. There were a couple freshmen in there, right? Amani and Dre were in those lineups. So you look at that and you try to decipher and say, okay, well, who puts us in the best position to win moving forward? What does that look like? How can we drill that in practice? And then I think offensively, there's just a lot. Defensively, you're on a good pace.
Yeah, can we say, like, this team could be elite defensively?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll dive into it right now because I think it's super relevant. But you want to keep in place what you have defensively because right now they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They're forcing tough twos. They're limiting 3-point attempts. And the best way that I can describe that is through some of these stats that you can find on KenPom. Yeah. So let's talk about the limiting 3-point attempts. So when you look at the percentage of 3-point attempts that make up your field goal attempts, right? The national average is roughly 37%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have teams like Creighton that shoot 55% of their shots are threes. Illini opponents are shooting 27% of their shots are threes,
mm-hmm.
which is good for 17th nationally. So when you're in drop coverage, I talk about it all the time, and there's probably people sitting there like, dude, this is – they tally on their wall. They're like, this is the 50th time you've mentioned this. But when you're in drop coverage, the whole point is to keep you out of rotation. If you're out of rotation, you don't give up a ton of threes. So check,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then how about forcing tough twos? The stat you look at is the two-point percentage, which is at 38% for Illini opponents. But the real stat that I'm looking at that really, I think, paints that picture is when you look at, okay, how many of the field goals that – or the percentage of the field goals that Illini opponents are scoring, how many of them are assisted?
Mm.
Okay? Kansas assists on 77% of their baskets, which is good for first nationally as an offense. Okay, the national average is 50%. So 50% of your field goals are typically assisted. This Illini defense, again, 27% of their opponent's baskets are assisted. And that tells me that there isn't a ton of rotation. There's not a ton of catch and shoot opportunities. There's not a ton of breakdowns in the defense to where guys are you know, dishing off for layups or easy baskets. It's all off the dribble, pull-ups. And look, that may hurt you in a half.
Yes.
But as a game goes on, it's what happened against Valpo.
Yep.
The quality of shot – now, there were less runouts for Valpo because of the turnovers, but the quality of shot didn't really change a ton. It's just over the course of a game, you're fine with that. So that's why I think – that could contribute at times when you look like, oh, man, you're getting off to these slower starts. But they're quote-unquote easier shots because they're closer in from three. But over the course of a game, those aren't high-percentage shots. So I wanted to go off on that tangent with their defense because there's just not much that you want to change there.
Yeah.
And you also don't want to feel like you have it figured out. Like you're coming into each game with like a great game plan defensively and all that. So you want to keep it that way. You want to keep that same hunger on that end. And then offensively, you got to, you know, if you're the staff, you got to go and workshop some things.
Yeah, let me get to that here. But yeah, that assist number, assist to field goals made 27.8%, second in the country. I think you said the Division I average, 50%. They're fifth in effective field goal percentage. I know the opponent is involved here, Mike, but those are still really, really encouraging numbers. And I think they translate, especially when you get into Big Ten play here. Offensively, what are you workshopping? If you're Brad Underwood's staff with the five-game sample size you have, your offense has to be better. How do you get more out of the personnel you have?
Yeah, I think you, like you said, you look at the personnel. And look, the personnel that you have right now, good and bad is on the staff, right? Like it's this offseason. I won't dive into it, right? Ray J. Dennis, but go on down the list. I mean, there's a reason why those guys.
It's a reason we were so preoccupied with it, because this team is a good point guard away from being a great team.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when schematically, I liked a lot of the split stuff that they did against Kansas. The problem is you just don't have Coleman right now. Mm-hmm. So if Coleman comes back, you can implement some more of that. But they've been heavier ball screen than I think they would like to be over these past few games. And that those ball screens are leading to playing in the middle third of the floor. And I've talked about the middle third of the floor. The middle third of the floor is great because, you know, if you have facilitation, because they can make those reads and you're driving into close quarters and everybody still kind of has to help in and honor you to where you can make those reads. But if you don't have guys that can make those reads, then you probably need to play in the outer thirds of the floor, right? If you play in the outer thirds of the floor, which they really did against Kansas. I mean, there were some ball screen opportunities, and if you can reject ball screens or cleared side to where you can use your strength a little bit. I mean, these guys are big guards, and so rejecting ball screens is always great, because typically quicker guards, if you're coming off a ball screen, maybe you can keep them on your hip, but at times they can go under because of maybe the shooting for some of these guys. You alleviate that if you're rejecting screens, or even if you're implementing actions where I'll beat the drum. I'll continue to beat the drum. I think Ty Rogers, Terrence Shannon, Marcus Damask should be posted. They should. Like that, to me, that should end up being your identity as a team, because
they're all good passers out of that too, right?
Exactly. I would rather have Dane is good in the low post. There's no question. The downside is turnovers at times and free throw shooting. So the more guys that you can get in the low post that draw attention, that maybe make it a little bit easier to pass out and have vision of the court, and then, you know, you're potentially drawing fouls. You're posting because odds are it's a mismatch. If it's a mismatch, then they're either sending someone else, or you can go and finish through somebody and potentially get a foul. Go shoot more free throws. But I know free throws probably send a shiver down everyone's spine, but if it's primarily Damask and Shannon, that's not bad.
Right.
That's not a bad thing. So we'll see. We'll see what they work in and how they shift some things around. But I think when you look at the person, we talked about personnel. You don't really have a point guard. We'll see what happens with Nico. But your personnel is big guards.
Yep.
So I'm not sure you're utilizing it as much as you could if you just send them off of ball screens. So how can you find ways to post them? I think that could be – maybe it's not your whole offense, but ways where you can generate easy looks.
Mike, anything you're looking for against Western Illinois before I let you go?
Just energy and effort. That's that's what those games come down to. You know, guys, right, as guys start to figure out their roles – you want to make sure that you're keeping a tight-knit unit, because teams can fray around the holidays, Christmas time, when they start realizing, oh, man, these are the actual minutes I'm going to play this year. And we talked about it back in the spring or the summer or the fall, where it's like, hey, team chemistry is awesome in the spring, summer, and fall, because shooting slumps haven't happened. Minutes haven't happened, shot allocation hasn't happened. So now you kind of have that stuff. So some of these guys that maybe aren't playing as much as they thought they would, or aren't getting the opportunity they thought they would, what kind of teammate are you? Mm-hmm. And that's going to be pivotal when you head into not only Big Ten play, but these really tough games, because you're going to need guys to be on their A game. And if they're a shell themselves or internalizing everything, now when we get in foul trouble in Knoxville, and I point to you to go in and you're sulking or you're into yourself, like you're not giving us the best chance to succeed. So that's always the challenge. That's a challenge with every team. So, and that's body language. That's, you know, just your mentality, your approach. It's a very underrated aspect of this game.
Michael Tuop, you're the goods. We'll talk to you next week, man. Previewing some huge games for Illinois.
All right, man. Let's do it.
Great stuff as always from Michael Tuip. We appreciate his insight and time as always, and we'll have him throughout the college basketball season. Later this week on the podcast, we will have Matt Fortuna breaking down Northwestern, David Braun getting hired there, what he's seen from Illinois, and the college football carousel and college football at large the rest of the way here. And Joey Wagner will join me to break down Illinois against Northwestern. And then, of course, we got Illinois against Western Illinois on Friday night, followed by Illinois fighting for a bowl game and that Land of Lincoln trophy. So we got plenty coming up at Illini Inquirer. Of course, don't miss out on that 75% off VIP deal going on right now. It is the best time to sign up for an Illini Inquirer membership. It's just $29 for your first year, 7 cents a day for the best Illini coverage. So if you haven't tried now, try now. And Michael Tuip just did a film breakdown with him about Imani Hansberry. Some great stuff from him on that. I'm telling you, Michael Tuip and Jay Layman are worth the price of admission alone with their film breakdowns. I just learned so much about the sport and the teams we watch, and I encourage you to check those out if you don't already. All right, everybody, have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.